Welcome back to Horoscope Witch. It's Mal, and happy new moon in Virgo. Right now it's August 29th. I'm probably not going to publish this until the morning of August 30th. But I am really feeling this new moon in Virgo. I'm feeling pretty good, a little burnt out, actually a lot burnt out. Suffering from some self-inflicted psychic burnout right now. But I do feel like this new moon is sort of coming in to purify me in a way that, you know, only the Virgo energy can. And before we talk about the new moon, I just wanted to say that, you know, if you've been listening forever, for the entire existence of this podcast, which has been about a year, it's been alive about a year, I realized I have made it through all of the signs. So actually, my first Zodiac episode was dedicated to Virgo. And if you guys are familiar with the format of my Zodiac episodes, I usually give an overview of the archetype, and then I sort of give you guys information about the cards, the tarot cards associated with the sign, and then I get to the descriptions of your placements. So if your sun, moon, rising, Mars, Mercury, or Venus are in the sign, I give you guys my own little interpretation of what that could mean. But now that we're back in the beginning, and I feel like now I have to sort of reformat, which is really exciting. So if you are new to the Horoscope Witch podcast, hi, I'm Mal. I'm a psychic intuitive. I'm a tarot card reader. I'm a new astrologer who was birthed this year by myself. And I'm also a Reiki practitioner and just a regular soul living in Chicago. And I, you know, now if you're new to this podcast and you want like the overview of the Virgo energy, you can scroll back to one of my first episodes on Virgo. And that's sort of like the OG Virgo episode. And this is sort of going to be the Virgo episode 2.0. And I was trying to think of like how we can spice it up a bit, because I don't just want to repeat myself and make the same episode twice, right? So you guys, hopefully you'll like this episode. I was trying to figure out how to give you guys the Virgo energy, Virgo 2.0, in a new and fresh way. And, you know, when there's so many astrology sources floating around, which is so amazing, but it can kind of get a little bit like repetitive, and I don't ever want to feel like I'm putting out content that's just like the same old as everybody else. So I definitely want to spice it up a bit. So hopefully you guys kind of feel like this episode is fresh and fun. And going forth, I'm gonna keep like evolving and redesigning specifically the Zodiac episodes, and I'm going to see where this takes me. And I have a lot of new ideas of how to format this podcast, and there's a ton of interviews that I want to do, and I just want to kind of take a more esoteric approach to astrology, because I'm realizing that that is really the kind of astrologer that I am and that I'm becoming. So thanks so much for being with me, guys, and sticking with me. And again, I say this all the time, but thank you for growing with me. So today is on August 30th, so tomorrow, it's a Friday, we have our new moon in Virgo. So what is up on this new moon in Virgo? So, you know, in new moon fashion, the sun and moon will be conjunct at 6 degrees Virgo. And I looked up the Sabian symbol for 6 degrees Virgo, and the Sabian symbol is a merry-go-round. So I'm kind of intrigued by this, and we'll get back to that in a second, because I'm not sure what to make of that just yet. But my first intuitive instinct with the Sabian symbol is sort of the nature of a merry-go-round, how it can kind of sustain momentum, but only for so long, and it eventually will kind of run out of momentum and just stop. So we may, with this new moon, kind of feel like we've run out of momentum with some cycle in our life, and now we're sort of figuring out how to regain momentum with a new cycle and a new push from the universe. At least that's kind of what I'm feeling. Now, the sun and moon will be at 66 degrees Virgo, like I said, and the sun and moon and Mars are sitting so close to each other on this new moon. Mars is going to be at 7 degrees Virgo, conjunct the new moon. So we've got Mars really, really involved with this new moon. Which is interesting. And, you know, Mars, the planet of action, the planet of war, the planet of sex, it can be about aggression and anger. In its darkest moments, Mars can be about progressing forward and trekking through, making our own path at its most enlightened. So any of those themes could be coming up with this full moon. For me, I was thinking with the sun and moon conjunct Mars, I'm actually thinking that it has to do with us stepping into our power and all of the ways that we just hand our power away. Think of, wouldn't it make you pissed if, you know, every time you passed a stranger on the street, you were giving them $20? Or if, let's say someone does something that kind of hurts your feelings, or they cross your boundary and you don't say anything and then you hand them $20? That doesn't make sense, right? You're like paying people to like cross your boundary, or you're sort of giving your power away readily. And that's something that I think this new moon is bringing up. It's kind of asking us to question, are people taking away our power, or are we readily giving it away? And is it them, or is it really us? Because I think it's always us. And I bring this up a lot, just in general, because I think it's just a human challenge. It's a human challenge stepping into your power. The thing that we're most afraid of in the whole world is our own power. And I've said this before. I've said this in the past full moon, new moon episode. We are vastly more terrified of success than we are of failure, right? So I want you to think about this new moon and moving forward, if we want our merry-go-round to spin again, we may have to cord cut from situations or people or ourselves, an old version of ourselves that readily gives our power away, because, that is an exchange of energy, just as money is, right? So that's why I kind of gave you guys that metaphor of, like, imagine someone crossing your boundary, you don't say anything, and you give them $20, because that's kind of what you're doing. You're giving them energy in some way. So it's time to take that energy back. And I said in my notes, newsflash, it's you, not them. So what in your life is actually a you problem, not a them problem? Where are you projecting your power issues onto others instead of, assessing them and reclaiming your power for yourself? And by the way, nobody can ever take your power away. It's always within you. You are in full control of it. And we may find ourselves with this new moon processing anger, with this conjunction with Mars. Now, it could be external for some of you, but I'm actually feeling this is more internal anger about ourselves and where we're being too hard on ourselves and where we need to let go. Maybe this has to do with the theme of cord cutting. Perhaps we're angry at ourselves for not doing this perfectly or not doing that, beating ourselves up for being burnt out like I am doing right now, feeling a lot of shame and guilt over needing to take a break. things like that, I'm angry. I'm angry that I need to take a break. I'm kind of angry that my body is tired. I'm angry that psychically I need to slow down. So we may need to sort of acknowledge that anger, right? We never want to ignore our anger. We never want to repress our anger. We always want to acknowledge it. And in acknowledging it, we can kind of let it go in a way. So I wouldn't be surprised if some internalized anger is coming up for you during this time. But yet we kind of have a saving grace with this new moon. So Uranus at 6 degrees Taurus will be trining this three planet conjunction, the moon, the sun, and Mars. Yes. So they're going to be trining Uranus. So, here with this energy of, you know, our power, this moon really is about, you know, harnessing our power, not in a like pounding our chest, making noise kind of way, but in a very like quiet but mighty harnessing of our power. So Uranus trining this conjunction, we're kind of being asked like how we ourselves inhibit our own personal freedom. You know, where in your life are you committing to things purely out of people-pleasing tendencies? Where in your life are you keeping yourself small in order to preserve another person's feelings, but in turn betraying your own desires? And where in your life are you doing things that are purely out of obligation? So ask your, you know, assess this at this time. I think Uranus is asking us to assess where are we doing these things, because we are keeping ourselves trapped. And we are limiting our manifestation powers by doing that. And remember, Uranus is this planet of breaking free. He wants the revolution. So we're being asked to break free of these things we've set up for ourselves, right? I really think we design our own prisons in a lot of ways. We design our own sufferings. We put things in place and, you know, commit to, certain thought processes and certain views of ourselves that may not be true, right? So any old stories, any old tendencies, any obligations that are just draining your energy that need to go, this moon says it's gotta go. We gotta move on, because we can't gain momentum on that merry-go-round unless we drop all this stuff that's weighing us down. And I want to ask you, you know, if this new moon was truly a new leaf, you're truly turning a new leaf on this new moon, and your life from going forth is going to be free of obligations. It's going to be free of people-pleasing tendencies. It's going to be free of giving your power readily away to others. What would your life look like? What would you be manifesting? What would you be doing? Would your life be drastically different than you are, what you are doing now? Okay, so that's what I want you to consider on this new moon. And I think once you have that vision of like what you would truly be doing if you were just worrying about yourself and thinking about what you truly want, regardless of what others want for you, that is what this new moon in Virgo is talking about. Although Virgo is very concerned with serving society, and being a good member of society, doing things that benefit society, the evolved Virgo, you know, archetype always knows that, they serve society best when, they take care of themselves and they're doing what they're most passionate about and what they're the best at, right? So any area in your life where there's just some things that you are just giving your power away readily to, this new moon says, no, it's time to change things. It's time to break free. Again, I feel like this is a very internal breaking free. It's not having to do with anything on the external plane. It's about you keeping yourself trapped and needing to break free of your own prison, if that makes sense. So Yeah, imagine, what if we all, should we do a horoscope witch challenge? What if for the next month after this new moon, okay, let's see, if can we all banish people pleasing out of our lives? Can we all say no without an explanation? Oh man, I'm already gonna fail this. I'm already gonna fail my own challenge, but let's try it. Let's try it. Okay, so for the next month, we're not allowed to do people pleasing things that don't make us happy. We're not allowed to explain while we're saying no. We can just say no and walk away. And we're also not allowed to apologize for petty things, like, or little things that don't even matter. Like, if you're, like, 1 minute late or you forgot to respond to someone's email, you're not allowed to apologize. Okay? That's our homework for the next month. Let's see if we can do it. And if you're like me, you're like, oh man, that's harder than it looks. That's way harder than it looks, or than it sounds. And I agree that all that stuff, I do that all the time. So I really got to stop. So what am I doing for this Virgo new moon, my ritual? So I'm going to, write some new manifestations down, because I definitely think this is a good planting, new moon, obviously planting the seeds, and again, planting the seeds for a life where you're doing purely what you want to be doing. It's not about anybody else on this full moon. It's just about you. It's about you and your feelings, putting yourself first. So I'm going to write it down. And then I'm really gonna quite immediately burn it and forget about it. Something that I love about, the evolved Virgo, a lot of Virgos worry about the future. So that's unevolved Virgo. But the evolved Virgo is much more involved in the present moment. And I think that's where we can go wrong with manifesting. We focus so much on it that we sort of put so much pressure on ourselves that we kind of forget to let things flow and let things happen. So I'm going to definitely write down new manifestations, but just kind of burn them and give them to the universe right away. And also, my manifestations aren't going to be specific either. They're going to be more like things I want to feel and things I want to become. Not specific things like I want to do this or I want to do that, but more like, who do I want to be and how do I want to be of service, and what is the optimal way I want to be using my gift, that kind of stuff. Because this is all happening, this new moon is all happening at 6 degrees Virgo, if you go ahead and check your birth chart, if you have any planets, especially the personal planets like the Sun, Moon, Mars, Mercury, or Venus, if you have any of those planets at 7 degrees Virgo, Pisces, Sag, or Gemini, any planets in those zodiac signs, I think you're going to especially be feeling this new moon, like extra, extra. Of course, everybody's going to be feeling it, but you guys, the people who have planets at 6 or 7 degrees Virgo, Pisces, Sag, or Gemini, I think you're going to do extra, extra with this new moon. So definitely check your chart. The goddess that was coming to me, unsurprisingly, lately has been Mother Mary. So I've really, Virgo season is usually a time of productivity for me. But I have just been not feeling that way, guys. Oh my gosh. I really feel like this Virgo season, I'm playing with the other side of Virgo. I'm not on that like Beyonce, like boss lady, like vibe right now. I mean, if you are, amazing, like keep going. Me, I'm on like that Virgo vibe that's like the hermit, like in the cave, like spending time by myself, like only talking to spirit. Needing more compassion for myself. And I think that's truly why Mother Mary has been coming to me, regardless if you identify as Christian or not, and by the way, I don't, but I still work with Mother Mary as an archetype, she's really encouraging us to come into love and understanding and trust with ourselves. Mother Mary's all about our relationship with ourselves, and there's just been some instances lately where, like I said, I've been way too hard on myself, and I've been shaming myself for wanting to take a break. And guys, I had a complete meltdown when I realized that, like, I literally can't keep going at this speed, and something needs to change, and I need to take better care of myself and all this stuff. And I just got mad, and I was so hard on myself, because there's a part of me that really just wants to function like a robot, like this psychic robot. But it's just like it's not going to happen, right? And I can't really be psychic and be a robot at the same time. So I think Mother Mary was really coming to me and being like, you need to be more gentle, right? We need to be more gentle with ourselves. So while we're grappling with some of these tough themes of this new moon, like, you know, where we're giving our power away and where we need to shift things and where we need to be more selfish, we also need to be more gentle with ourselves. And then the crystal that I was thinking that related to this new moon is blue calcite. Blue calcite's one of my favorite crystals. It's really, really good for the throat chakra. It's great for focus, clarity, and honesty with ourselves. So maybe we need a little extra bravery this Virgo season to set those boundaries that we need to set. Maybe we need a little extra bravery, again, like to say no, to stop apologizing, to really speak from our hearts and actually get honest with ourselves most of all, and talk to ourselves about what we really want and really get honest, like, where are we doing things just in order to please others and just in order to preserve others' feelings? And where do we need to, you know, actually put ourselves first, right? So that blue calcite and that Mother Mary energy are really coming to me. And also, I think Mother Mary is showing me that, you know, Virgo season is more than just about being productive. And I'm just putting that out there in case any listeners on the other side are not feeling like they're at their Beyonce boss lady mode right now. You know, Virgo season brings up other themes too. It definitely brings up the themes of self-criticism, and in turn self-love. And that's really what this Virgo season is speaking to me about, right? So that's the Virgo new moon, what's happening with the astrology. And I am going to take a quick break, and then I'll give you guys your channeled messages for this new moon, and you can kind of see what's coming up for your sign, and I'll talk to you guys in a second. Okay, before we get into the channeled messages, I wanted to find sort of like a Virgo season poem or piece of literature or something like that. And nothing was coming to me, but something that was kind of inspiring me was the idea of the Hippocratic Oath. And if you don't know what the Hippocratic Oath is, this is an oath that people entering medical school or doctors will take, you know, before they enter medical school. And it's this oath about, you know, remaining, you know, I'm going to read it to you guys, but you'll see. But it has a lot of Virgo season themes, like dedication to one's work, doing your work in with the utmost integrity. And I almost think that I'm going to read this, but we may need to sort of make our own Hippocratic Oath to ourselves, especially with this new moon. And we may need to sort of take the Hippocratic Oath for our own craft. It doesn't matter if we're not doctors or nurses. Maybe we're healers. Maybe we're teachers. Maybe we're artists. Maybe we just need to rededicate ourselves to something I think this is a really interesting kind of, I guess we could call it a piece of literature. So let's read the Hippocratic Oath. This is the modernized version. There's, because the Hippocratic Oath is so ancient, it's been translated many, many times. So this is a modernized version. So, I swear to fulfill, to the best of my ability and judgment, this convenient. I will respect the hard-won scientific gains of those physicians in whose steps I walk, and gladly share knowledge, as is mine, with those who are to follow. Wait, pause. Isn't that kind of sweet? I will gladly share knowledge as is mine with those who are to follow. So you can see how that's Virgoian. Virgos always are available to share their knowledge. They're the mentors of the zodiac, right? So going forth, I will apply for the benefit of the sick all measures that are required, avoiding those twin traps of overtreatment and therapeutic nihilism. I will remember that there is art to medicine as well as science, and that warmth, sympathy, and understanding may outweigh the surgeon's knife or the chemist's drug. I will not be ashamed to say I know not, nor will I fail to call in my colleagues when the skills of another are needed for a patient's recovery. I will respect the privacy of my patients, for their problems are not disclosed to me that the world may know. Most especially must I tread with care in matters of life and death. If it is given me to save a life, all thanks, but it may also be within my power to take a life. This awesome responsibility must be faced with great humbleness and awareness of my own fragility. Above all, I must not play at God. Ooh, I like that part. I will remember that I do not treat a fever chart, a cancerous growth, but a sick human being whose illness may affect the person's family and economic stability. My responsibility includes these related problems if I am to care equitably for the sick. I will prevent disease whenever I can, for prevention is preferable to cure. I will remember that I remain a member of society with special obligations to all my fellow human beings, those sound of mind and body, as well as the infirm. If I do not violate this oath, may I enjoy life and art, respected while I live and remembered with affection thereafter. May I always act so as to preserve the finest traditions of my calling, and may I long experience the joy of healing those who seek my help. Okay, so I don't know, I just like that. I thought it really related to the Virgo archetype, and it related to Virgo season in the way that, you know, all of our purposes, our purpose and our meaning in life, it always is going to relate back to how we are being of service to others. And do all doctors follow the Hippocratic Oath? Maybe not, but I think the best doctors do, and I think also the best healers do, and just the anybody who is the best at their job, they're probably following the Hippocratic Oath in some way, right? Even if they didn't take it. So yeah, that's sort of the Virgo season literature. So now let's really get into your channeled messages. Okay, Virgo, let's see what's going on with you during this new moon. By the way, guys, I'm going to try to leave the timestamps in the show notes. So if you need to skip ahead to your sun sign, I usually try to gear these towards your sun sign. But if your sun sign does not resonate, you can check your moon sign and your rising. Okay, so Spirit, please give us the channel message for Virgo. Okay, you guys got the Hierophant. It's funny because I really feel like this is exactly what I was saying in the first part about the new moon. I really do feel like you have to break free this new moon of your own self-inflicted rules. You need to rewrite the rule book. If you're subscribing to a story about about yourself. Like, I can't do this, or I'm not good enough to do that. Why? Why? Who says? Who says you haven't changed? Who says you haven't evolved? Who says you can't just try and fail? The hero font, I think in this instance, is really, really pushing you to break free of something that's just no longer serving you. And any wound that may be left over, it could be something from childhood or something from, your parents or anything like that. Remember that it's their wound that you're carrying. It doesn't have to be yours, right? So we can kind of come full circle with those inner child healing those moments right now and have a discussion with your inner child about what they're afraid of and move forward in a way that just serves you and your purpose, where you're not worrying so much about playing by someone else's rules. These are your rules, Virgo, and it's your new moon, goddammit. okay, so Libra. Yeah? No. Yeah, Libra. Okay, Libra, you got strength kind of in reverse-ish. I'm getting fear. There's a lot of fear-based stories coming up for you right now. And I'm just getting that they're ultimately not true. I do feel like there may be like a conflict that needs to be faced, or there may need to be a discussion had amongst you and another person, someone that you've been meaning to have a discussion with for a while but never got around to it. And you know, the longer that you wait to have this discussion, the more it's going to make your life harder. So I would say stop procrastinating that discussion and just have it. Granted, this could only be for like one or two people. I don't know why I was getting that really strongly. If that doesn't resonate, I'm just getting stop procrastinating in general, Libra. The things that you don't know what you don't want to do, or you're like viewing these things as like huge hurdles that you have to jump over and it's going to be so difficult, it's just such a pain in the ass, Libra, it's really not. It's going to be easier than you're imagining it to be. And whatever hurdle you're worrying about, please don't lose sleep over it. Once you jump it, you'll realize that it wasn't really all that worrisome after all. Okay, Scorpio, what's coming up for you? You got two cards. You got the Star and Ace of Swords. Okay, amazing. Scorpio, things are going to get better. You just have to have hope that things are getting better. What's really been happening the last couple months is you've been becoming purified, right? It's almost like spirit has, they're giving me this really archaic image of like a woman like washing clothes in a river, and like washing clothes like an old-fashioned way, like on a scrubbing board, if you've ever seen that, and like someone's like just scrubbing the shit out of like article of clothing in like a natural source. So kind of feels like spirit's been doing that to you, huh? Like it feels like you've been really like washed out and wrung dry and put on the drying rack and kind of forgotten, but really you are just being purified in order for the new rebirth that you're about to have. And really, actually, new ideas are going to be coming soon, if not already, and new clarity about how to move forward is coming. And also, ultimately, there's just going to be a realization coming that's kind of like, oh, that's why that had to happen. That's why that shitty person, fucked me over, because I had to meet this other great person. Or, oh, that's why I got fired from that job, because my dream job was right around the corner. There's something like that coming about. Excuse me. Okay, Sagittarius, you got the Shaman of Swords or the King of Swords. Okay, Sag, so it's not about what's on your mind, but what's on your heart? What's on your heart that you haven't been speaking lately? You're kind of giving me a similar vibe to Libra. In the sense that there might need to be something that needs to be said, and you're kind of nervous about the repercussions of what needs to be said. But let me ask you this, Sag, what's more important, speaking your truth or preserving another person's opinion of you? Because it's almost like if you're speaking your truth, you know that this truth might not go over well with someone, or whatever truth you want to start living, you know that some people might disapprove. And spirit is saying, like, it doesn't matter. Like, this is your soul's path. And as long as you're living true to yourself and true to your heart, you really can't go wrong. And if someone doesn't understand that, then they're not meant to be in your life. So saying what needs to be said right now and doing what needs to be done. Okay, spirit, message for Capricorn. Okay. I heard, I really just want to get this over with. So I don't know if, a Capricorn out there is like kind of doing, a lot of work that they're not passionate about, or they just aren't feeling right now, and they just really want to get something done with. And then you also got the, Page of, Pentacles in reverse. So I just think, like, there, you know, Capricorn, if the thing is, if whenever life becomes too monotonous for you, it becomes too boring, it becomes that attitude of, I just wanted to get this over with, you know, you've lost your spice, your, what I'm trying to say, you've lost your, like, a little bit of your passion, and you need to get it back in some way. And when you produce and do work, out of passion, that's when you create something really beautiful, that, like, serves society, and that's amazing, and you feel good about yourself. But when you're creating and living from a place of, oh, I just want to get this over with, then, yeah, you'll probably create some good things, because it's you, Capricorn, but you're not going to feel proud of yourself at the end of the day. So wherever you're kind of missing the target, you kind of need it. I'm getting it's a mindset thing, actually. You're not exploring enough. You're not getting outside of your box. You get so comfortable with the things that you're comfortable with. And spirit is saying it's trying something new is really needed for you right now, Capricorn. And a new attitude is kind of needed, in a way. Like, I feel like we've gotten kind of pessimistic lately. So whatever you need to do, I know you're not good at taking vacations, but maybe you need to take a little getaway to kind of help you sort some of this stuff out. Okay, Aquarius, you got the King of Cups, and it's kind of tilting a little bit to the right. So I'm getting that this moon is hitting you in a pretty emotional spot. In Aquarius, it's funny. I just did a birth chart for someone with an Aquarius moon, and I was telling them, I was like, you know, if you ever go on, like, an online chart generator, you know, they'll tell you that Aquarius moons are, like, don't really feel a lot, and they're kind of distant, emotionally distant. But I'm like, that's obviously not true about you, because, you know, your chart, you know, it's obvious that you're a deeply emotional person. And they were like, oh my god, yeah, totally, like, I'm so emotional. So, you know, Aquarius, like, don't believe that stuff on the internet that says you don't feel or you're not emotional, because I really think you are emotional, and you need to give yourself more permission on this new moon to really feel your emotions. And I know that sounds cheesy, but whatever that may mean for you, it's really important not to repress these things right now. And maybe you just need to have, like, a heart-to-heart with a friend, like having a glass of wine and like crying it out or whatever it may be. I do feel like an emotional release is needed. Like, right now I'm kind of feeling like your energy is kind of like a little kid, like on the brink of, like, a meltdown, and they, like, really need need a nap and a good cry and like some fruit snacks, and after that they'll be kind of better. So it could very well be that, like, not only are your emotions bubbling over, but it's like, it's again, it's deeper than that. It's like inner child wants attention for something. So really check in and be gentle on yourself, Aquarius, and you don't have to pretend like you don't have emotions, because we know you do. Okay, Pisces, let's see what's coming up here. Priestess of Discs or the Queen of Pentacles? Okay, so I'm actually feeling, Pisces, that, you know, your self-care for the next couple weeks, it's not going to be about those bubble baths. It's really going to be about getting into nature, reconnecting to nature. If you've been feeling a little bit blocked lately, or burnt out, or just like not feeling like you can fully connect with spirit or your guides, your guides are still there. They haven't abandoned you. It's just that you're kind of tired right now. So I think you need to renew yourself in nature, and you will find your guides and your ancestors and the signs from the universe in nature right now. So I just recently discovered this concept of forest bathing. And if you've never heard of forest bathing, from my limited understanding, it's kind of like you're just like kind of doing a walking meditation through nature, and you're letting nature kind of cleanse you as you walk through it. So I'm feeling that heavily for you. It's time to do some good old nature time and reconnect with yourself outside. Don't coop yourself up and hermit yourself in bed. You can do that, but just take a picnic blanket outside, okay? Okay, Aries. Aries, you got the High Priestess. Okay, I love this energy for you, Aries, because I'm actually getting, like, think before you act. Feel things out before you decide. So I actually think Spirit is giving you permission to not decide right now. Aries, you're fairly certain, you're fairly good with, like, making decisions, and you tend to not be an indecisive person, because you can really, like, discern, like, yes, this is for me, no, it's not. There might be something coming up for you that you're a little bit unsure about. You're unsure how to navigate this situation. It's a new situation, it's new energy in your life, and you're just like a little bit like, how do I integrate this? And really the answer is go slowly. Right now there's a lot of things that are out of your control in a really beautiful way, and you really just need to trust right now that Spirit has your back. And I think you've kind of done all the action that you needed to do by now. You've already done everything. Just let Spirit meet you halfway, okay? You're already at the halfway mark. Let Spirit catch up to you. And it might take a little while, but that's all for a reason. So slow down. Don't get discouraged at this time just because you don't know all the answers. Okay. Taurus. You got the Lovers in reverse. Okay, so I'm definitely getting like an imbalance right now. I don't think it's external. It could be, but I'm getting more of an internal balance, imbalance between your masculine or your feminine. And this could go either way. It could be that you're really relying heavily on the masculine energy inside of you, so you're pushing too hard. You're doing things even though you know it, you're burnt out. You are taking action after action after action and hitting a wall. If that's the case, you're overexerting your masculine energy. You need to embrace the feminine energy, which is more like rest and receive and slow down and take your time a little bit more, and kind of give yourself permission to let things unfold naturally. Don't try to push things so hard. If you're feeling more of an imbalance of the feminine energy, like an imbalance of a feminine energy could just be feeling like you don't have any discipline, you've lost your self-discipline, you've lost your reason why you're doing something, you're just kind of maybe a little bit more of a mope. Like you're just kind of feeling a little bit lazy, uninspired. Of course, this is kind of like shadow side of feminine energy. You may need to embrace like a manifestation ritual, or you may need to embrace some kind of like magic or a fire goddess or someone to kind of get you off your booty and get going a little bit. You need to remember who you are and why you're doing the things that you need to be doing. And the way you're connecting to the feminine energy isn't necessarily the healthiest. And a healthy connection to the feminine energy is, you know, talking to our guides and, you know, connecting to spirit. And I don't get that you're doing that, really. You're just kind of, you know, almost blocking yourself and not taking action. So, Taurus, you can be either way. Okay, Gemini. Let's see. Two of Cups in reverse. Okay. So, Gemini, you know, I'm just getting, like, there's something that, like, spirit's, like, knocking you over the head with something. Like, it's like they're giving you, like, the flashing signs that they're like, go this way, do this, try that, you know, 11-11, like, and you're just like ignoring it. Like, what's the thing that you're like, you're not doing something, you're like, you're just not, there's something that you're feeling called to, something that's kind of calling your name, and it's like you're not taking it seriously enough. Even but from spirit side, they're like, we want you to take it seriously, we want you to do this thing, even if it's seemingly unimportant. Follow your heart right now. Follow the path that most excites you. Do something a little bit out of your comfort zone, out of the box. Get out of your daily routine. There's obviously something that spirit wants to kind of put in your path that you're meant to discover, but it won't come if you're getting stuck in your routine right now, Gemini. Really, really embrace that like extroverted, social butterfly part of yourself at this new moon. Okay, and then lastly, that can't be last. Who the heck did I miss? Okay, so I missed, I'm still doing, so this is Cancer, and then I also have Leo. Okay, so Cancer, you got the Ace of Cups. So this is a really beautiful new moon for you. You know, it could be filled with just like a new seedling of love in whatever that means to you. This could be love in the form of a person. This could be love in the form of yourself, love in the form of artwork. Re-embrace love. Maybe there's just not enough loving energy in your life right now. But whatever opportunity you may have at this new moon to follow your heart and live from a true heart space. I know that I say that a lot, but I'm just getting like, if you follow your heart at this time, you will be renewed. And anybody who's like criticizing you or discounting your beauty, don't pay them any attention at this time. I don't know, I'm just getting that for maybe a couple of you. But anybody who's bringing you down or keeping you from like your true beauty or producing the art that you produce or whatever it is, don't pay them any attention. This time is for you and yourself, and you know, focusing on the people that make you feel good and make you feel proud of yourself, because you shouldn't feel proud of yourself, Cancer. Okay, and lastly, we've got Leo. Dun, dun, dun. Leo, you got the Death card. That's amazing, Leo. I'm so happy that you got the Death card, because I'm finding that going back to the merry-go-round metaphor that I was talking about in the beginning, it seems like you really, your merry-go-round has stopped. And you're really like, okay, that old way of doing something just isn't working anymore. I gotta find a new way to spin this wheel. And that's amazing. And I'm just getting like overall It's kind of funny that you got the death card in Virgo season, because it's like the end of your season, you know. So I'm getting it's overall a more internal time for you right now. And it's time for you to really get in touch with where are you in your cycle of life? Like, what's dying and what are you giving birth to? And even if you don't have the answer to what are you giving birth to, I think you at least need to acknowledge that, like, you're shedding a skin in some way and you've grown and you're just not the same person. And if you're starting to feel a little bit uncomfortable in your life, that's good, because it means you're kind of on the cusp of this death, rebirth kind of situation. So definitely feel into that. Spend some time alone in meditation or in solitude, and give yourself permission to mourn that old part of yourself, but also know that, you know, there's no doubt that there is a rebirth coming. It may be a while, but it's obviously on the horizon. So thanks, guys. Those are your channeled messages for the new moon in Virgo. And stay tuned for the part about the asteroids and how the asteroids relate to Virgo. All right, we're back, and let's get into our discussion about the asteroids. So you may be wondering how the asteroids actually fit into the theme of Virgo. And in traditional astrology, Virgo is ruled by the planet Mercury. But as we kind of learn more and discover more asteroids and develop the meaning of each asteroid, some astrologers are actually starting to say that Virgo may be ruled by some or all of these asteroids that I'm going to be discussing today. So I'm going to cover five of the major asteroids, and that would be Ceres, Vesta, Pallas, Athena, Juno, and Chiron. And I've heard astrologers say that they think Chiron is actually the true ruler of Virgo. I've heard astrologers say that the four goddesses, the Ceres, Vesta, Pallas, and Juno, those asteroids are actually the true ruler of Virgo. And of course, we hear that Mercury is the ruler of Virgo. So you may be wondering why there's so much confusion about who is the true ruler of Virgo. And I kind of wonder this too, and I tend to actually side more with the astrologers who say that the asteroids are the true ruler of Virgo, just because if you think about Mercury, Mercury as a planet, he rules the way we communicate, our thought process. The god Apollo, he who's associated with Mercury, or Hermes in Greek mythology, he goes from the human realm, communicating with the human realm, and goes to the realm of gods and goddesses and communicates with them too. So he's going back and forth between, like, the divine world and the human world. So that those themes of communication and communicating with both worlds are very Gemini, right? And Gemini is the co-ruler of Mercury along with Virgo. So in a sense, Virgo and Gemini share Mercury. And even me as an astrologer, I don't like to think that the planets are shared, if that makes sense. Like, I think that the true ruler of Venus is definitely Libra, and I think we still haven't quite discovered the true ruler of Taurus. And for me too, the meaning of Mercury again lines up so much better with the themes of Gemini as an archetype versus the themes of Virgo, which I think you'll see as I'm talking about these asteroids. I think you'll notice that the themes of these five asteroids that I will be discussing line up with the themes of Virgo in a much better way. Although I want to make some disclaimers. I I'm definitely not an expert at the asteroids. I'm still learning them, but I do find them really fascinating. And eventually, I kind of want to do an offering on Etsy where it can sort of be like a follow-up to a natal chart reading with me. And it's sort of a natal chart reading, but just focused on your asteroids. So I don't know. That's kind of an idea that I have, because I'm just so, like, I feel so fascinated and so enveloped with the meaning of these five asteroids. But anyway, so that's one disclaimer. I don't know everything. I'm still learning, obviously, so don't take my word as God. Yes, I do believe that Virgo is ruled by some mixture of these five asteroids, but you do not have to agree with me. You can totally listen to this episode and think, okay, yeah, I get what she's saying, but at the end of the day, I think Virgo is ruled by Mercury. That's totally fine. And sure, there'll be plenty of astrologers who think that. And also, I wanted to say, if you're new to astrology, learn the planets first. If you're like seriously just dipping your toe into astrology and you're kind of unfamiliar with the planets or the signs and the planetary rulers of the signs and things like that, this episode may confuse you a little bit. So, I mean, keep listening because I think it'll interest you, but maybe come back to it too at a later time after you explore more just about the general planets, the sun, Moon, Mercury, Venus, Mars, so on and so forth. You want to learn the meanings of the planets before you learn the meanings of the asteroids. And at the end of the day, the planets are the most important part of your birth chart. The way the planets are aspected, the way the planets are talking to each other, makes up who you are, right? And the asteroids are more like the sprinkles or the cherry on top, whereas the planets are sort of like the ice cream if we're eating a sundae, okay? You get me. So let's kind of explore some of these asteroids and what they exactly have to do with the theme of Virgo. Now, again, I'm going to give you guys a really brief overview of these asteroids. There's certainly much more to be said than what I'm going to tell you today about each of these asteroids. And also, it's interesting because just in general, the meaning of the asteroids, specifically these five, they tend to be a little bit more esoteric in nature, a little bit harder to pin down. And as a result, each astrologer really has their own interpretation of what they mean. You may find that the information about the asteroids across the board is a little scattered, and that's for a reason. Each astrologer is going to have their own interpretation of these asteroids. It's not as set in stone as the meaning of a planet. So that being said, these are just kind of my take on the asteroids, and you can kind of take what resonates and leave the rest, okay? So let's get started with Chiron. So Chiron is sort of the most well-known asteroid in, you know, 2019. It's the asteroid that everybody's talking about, and I find that most people are familiar with Chiron, or I would say, like, most people of my generation who like astrology are familiar with Chiron, and they're a little bit more oblivious to the fact that there are other asteroids too, like the Ceres, Vesta, Pallas, and Juno, the ones that I'm going to be talking about. Now, Chiron, he is, you may have heard, he is the wounded healer. And I'm not sure if you guys are familiar with the story or the mythology behind Chiron, but I think the mythology behind Chiron is key to understanding his role in our birth chart. Now, I think by far the best book I've read about Chiron is called Chiron and the Healing Journey by Melanie Reinhart. I'll leave the book in the show notes. It's such a good book. And it really takes you through an in-depth example of every single one of your Chiron placements, how Chiron is aspected. Now, I'm going to read a little snippet from this book and kind of have Melanie tell you guys the the mythology behind how Chiron came about, because she says it better than I do, and I'm no expert in the classics. So essentially she's saying that Chiron is the child of the god Cronus and the goddess Philyra. So basically she says that Philyra changed herself into a mare to try and escape from Cronus, who began ardently pursuing her. However, Cronus in turn deceived her by changing himself into a horse, and thus he succeeded in mating with her. Eventually, a child of this union was born. He was Chiron the Centaur, who had the body and legs of a horse and the torso and arms of a man. When Philyra saw him, she was so disgusted that she pleaded to be changed into anything other than what she was. The gods duly obliged by turning her into a tree. Thus, Chiron was abandoned, later to be found by Apollo, who became his foster father and taught him many skills. Okay, so yes, if you didn't know, Chiron is a centaur. And actually, according to Melanie Reinhart, the true ruler of Chiron is Sagittarius. So she has, you know, her opinions about Chiron. And of course, other astrologers will say the true ruler of Chiron is Virgo. Me, I tend to see Chiron as more of a Virgo archetype. But you can see how Chiron relates to Sagittarius because Chiron is the centaur and so is Sagittarius. But going back to, you know, the story of how Chiron came into being, he was sort of, in a way, you know, he was unwanted by his mother, right? When his mother gave birth to him, she did not want him. She did not want to take care of him. She saw him as ugly. And from a very young age, Chiron was abandoned by both his parents. And that's why, in my eyes, the key word for Chiron in our Chiron placement is trigger. And I know the word trigger is kind of a popular word, you know, to throw around in the spiritual community. And there's a lot of discussion about like triggers and triggering others and what to do when we are triggered. And I actually think Chiron has a lot to do with what we are inherently triggered by. And that's because Chiron's always going to root back to those inner child wounds. Now, as you know, I've said this before, but I do, and you can disagree with this, but this is kind of what I see and how I kind of see our existence, if that makes sense. I think that our souls and, you know, our souls choose to come here. Our souls choose our lessons. And our souls also choose our wounds. And we come into this planet, you know, with certain wounds to be had in order to fulfill a greater purpose. And I think that's ultimately what Chiron represents, how our wounds like kind of fit in to our greater soul's journey and our greater soul's purpose. Now, wherever your Chiron placement is, you're going to want to take into account both the sign that Chiron is in and the house. And this will give you some information about where your childhood wounds are, what triggers you, and it also gives you some information about past life wounds too. In my opinion, Chiron's an extremely karmic asteroid, especially if you were born with Chiron in retrograde. This could really directly be talking about a past life lesson that you may have not learned and you reincarnated it in order to learn it again. Now, Chiron, it's not just a wound, though. It's also our gift. And that's what we have to remember. Now, Chiron himself, in the mythology of his story, he's wounded, right? He's insecure. He's abandoned. He has rejection issues. He has mommy issues. He has daddy issues. He's the most wounded soul you could think of. Yet, do you know what the only thing is that makes him feel better? The only thing that makes him feel better is healing others. And he starts to see that his very wounds become less painful as he uses them to provide others with relief. So this is the ultimate lesson of our Chiron placement. And that's where the gift part of it comes in. Remember, Chiron in your birth chart, it's a key to your wound, but in opening that wound and opening that door, you also find a gift that you came into this lifetime with. I truly believe that. excuse me. Actually, I start like coughing as I'm about to talk about my Chiron placement, because actually we find that we may be like naturally talented in some way when it comes to our Chiron placement. For instance, my Chiron is in Virgo. Ironically, we're talking about Virgo. And it resides in the third house. So it's funny because I definitely interpret that plainly as a wound surrounding like my words or the way I speak, or feeling insecure about the things that I have to say, or not feeling like I'm good or worthy enough to have my words take up space. So granted, it's funny that even before I had that interpretation of my Chiron placement, I made this podcast, right? So I kind of walked into subconsciously like my soul contract. And actually, since I was little, or since I was a kid, a weird compliment people have always given me was people come up to me and say, "I really like your voice." And ever since I started this podcast, some of you guys have been sweet enough to message me and say, "I love your voice. It's so calming. I love to listen to you. You have a great voice," which is really weird, right? Because Chiron in my birth chart, technically my wound is surrounding my voice. So you can see how it is my gift, but it's also my wounds, and kind of have to learn to balance the two. So that's kind of just an example. But look around in your chart. If you go on astrocharts.com, it's astro-charts. When you cast your chart, you can go into the settings and you'll have to click on the check marks for the planets and asteroids to see where to make Chiron and then also the other asteroids, Vesta, Pallas, Juno, and Ceres show up in your birth chart so you can locate where they are. And you can kind of start thinking and journaling about, I would start off with the sign that Chiron is in, and then go into the house that Chiron is in, and thinking about, like, how does this relate to my inner child wounds, but also how does this relate to my gift and talent? Now, how does Chiron relate to Virgo? Well, just the fact that Chiron is a healer, we know that Virgo is one of the two healing archetypes in the zodiac. So both Virgo and Pisces are the healers of the zodiac. Virgo specifically, if we know Virgo, you know, the stereotype is sort of criticism, zooming in on the little things. It's a very like, spirit is showing me the, image of like a magnifying glass, or a microscope. So it's a very like microscopic energy. Virgo has the ability to like be like a microscope and see things in a really detailed way. And you can see how that is a blessing and a curse, right? And sometimes there are times in our lives where our minds and our thought processes, we are kind of zoomed in and, you know, taking a magnifying glass to our wounds. And Virgo reminds us that we are our own worst critics, right? And just the theme of criticizing the self, being your own bully, kind of being, overly critical of oneself. These are sort of the shadowy aspects of Virgo and any Virgo placement, right? And that all relates back to Chiron. Again, he is our wound and he is our gift. So there's certainly so much information about Chiron. And also, Chiron is different than the other four asteroids I'm going to be talking about, because actually in the solar system, Chiron resides between Saturn and Uranus. So that's also significant. And Melanie Reinhart, she talks about this in the Chiron and the Healing Journey book. But if you think about the meaning of Uranus and Saturn, Uranus being this planet of revolution, revolutionary ideas, surprises, it's sort of a uniqueness. Like wherever Uranus is in your chart, it's where you are the most unique, where you have your the ability to do something that only you can do, right? And then Saturn is this planet of constriction, and Saturn slows us down and says, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, whoa. What are you doing there? We got to iron this out before you move forward," right? So it makes sense that Chiron sitting right in the middle of those two planets, and we can see how Chiron has some of these kind of a mixture of the qualities between Uranus and Saturn, right? Now, the rest of the asteroids that I'm going to talk about, the Ceres, Vesta, Juno, and Pallas, those all reside in the asteroid belt, which is between Mars and Jupiter. Correct me if I'm wrong, but Mars and Jupiter. So they're residing in a totally different place in our solar system than Chiron. So that's Chiron for you. And now, have you guys heard of Ceres? I think this is probably the second most popular asteroid that I've seen people talk about, but also I think we don't talk about like these four asteroids as much as like an older astrologer. Like my astrology teacher, you know, he's been an astrologer for like, you know, 30 plus years, and he it's like in the birth chart, he's always looking at Ceres, Vesta, Juno, and Pallas, and he kind of disregards Chiron. Yet the new generation of astrologers, they're like all about Chiron, right? And we tend to disregard these four placements. So it's interesting. But let's get into Ceres. The key word for Ceres is nurture. And Ceres, in mythology, she is the goddess Demeter, right? So Demeter, the mother of Persephone. Persephone gets abducted by Hades. And because Demeter is the goddess of the earth, whenever, you know, her daughter Persephone goes to the underworld, the seasons change to winter. And then whenever Persephone's time is back with her mom, the season changes to summer, right? So we can already see just the relationship to Virgo. If we think of the Virgo archetype, which is this virginic grain goddess, that is Ceres, right? That is Demeter. So Ceres, now she is it's very disputed what the Ceres placement in your chart actually means. So she rules anything that has to do with food or agriculture. But she also rules things like familial relationships, animals, our relationship to eating and food, our relationship to the earth, our relationship to nurturing both ourselves and others. For me, the key word for Ceres and our Ceres placements is nurture. So if we think of some occupations that have to do with Virgo, right? Maybe it could be the nurse or the doctor, or the healer, or the psychic, or the intuitive, or the shaman, or the massage therapist. All of these like careers may be tied back to Virgo and the sixth house, which is the house of service and health, right? Now, all of those occupations, we could definitely argue, have ties to other places in the birth chart too, but just stay with me. So if you are a nurse, or you're in the medical field, or you're doing a job where you're having to do a lot of nurturing, maybe even teaching, or gardening, or working at a forest preserve, something along those lines, you may have a very strong Ceres in your chart. And we can say that Ceres may be ruled by Virgo, for all the reasons that were just discussed. Now, I also think that our Ceres placements can have keys to where we may need more self-care, where we're really good at caring for others, but we're not so good about caring for ourselves, right? So for instance, if you had Ceres in your first house, which is like, a really, I think, a strong Ceres placement, you know, any planet or asteroid in your first house, it's going to be very visible, right? It's very seen by the world, because it's close to the rising, it's in your rising sign, or it's close to, it may be on the ascendant, or it may be a little bit away from the ascendant, but regardless, anything in the first house is going to be very visible. So let's say you do have Ceres in the first house. I think automatically people are going to see you as a very nurturing and healing person, and thus you may become, you know, very good at making people feel seen, validating people for their emotions. You may be a very good therapist in a way, yet you may be lacking in doing that for yourself, if that makes sense. So if you're struggling with self-care, if you're struggling with feeling like, man, like, gosh, the internet tells me that, you know, self-care is taking a bubble bath, but it's just not doing it for me. Ceres may be the key in sort of finding where your self-care could be more beneficial for you, if that makes sense. Now, it depends. Certain people put more emphasis on Ceres being like the nurturer or the nurse archetype. Other astrologers put a lot of emphasis on Ceres placement having something to do with our eating habits or our relationship with food. So that could certainly relate to you in some way. And then other astrologers will put more of that nature-esque sort of emphasis on Ceres. So I wouldn't be surprised if you feel as though in this life you have a very intense relationship with the earth. You care a lot about the earth. People make fun of you for being a tree hugger, whatever it may be. I would not be surprised if you had a strong Ceres. So that's Ceres. That's a general overview of Ceres. Now, the third asteroid I wanted to discuss that has something to do with the Virgo archetype is Vesta. This has got to be my favorite asteroid ever. I'm like obsessed with Vesta. So I don't know if you guys have ever heard of the goddess Vesta or of the Vestal Virgins. I wasn't really, I never learned about the Vestal Virgins in school, which is really weird because I was a religious studies major, so you would have thought they would have like come into like something somehow, but I never did. And I just recently learned about the Vestal Virgins, but they were, it happened so long ago, but they were a small group of women that existed in ancient Rome, and they were literally the worshipers of the goddess Vesta. And Vesta represents the hearth of the home. So if you look at the symbol for Vesta in your birth chart, it looks like a little flame. So that was the job of the Vestal Virgins in ancient Rome. They were stationed at the shrine of Vesta, and they had to keep the eternal flame of the city going. And it was believed that as long as the flame was, you know, not burnt out or anything, as long as it was going, the city of Rome would be safe. And isn't that so interesting? Now, I was reading more about the Vestal Virgins, and it seems like, you know, the information, of course, is you know, it's from so long ago, we can't really be sure what happened. But they, from the information that I was reading, the Vestal Virgins were picked as really young girls, like around 6 years of age, and they had a commitment until they were around 30. And their job was to remain virgins or remain chaste. And there were like severe punishments for any like male clergy members in ancient Rome if they were to try to pursue the Vestal Virgins. It was like considered an extremely heinous crime. From my point of view, I think the Vestal Virgins were held on like actually a pedestal. From what I was reading, the Vestal Virgins were seen as sort of like celebrities almost of ancient Rome, because they acted as women who were sort of outside of the realms of society. If we think of any ancient patriarchal society, women didn't necessarily have it all that good, right? But the Vestal Virgins, they were sort of like the high priestess card. They had like special access to powerful men in society. They probably had access to like divine information and secrets, and I'm sure they were all very connected to divine source. So long story short, Vesta, wherever Vesta is located in our chart, it can be talking about our relationship to being a disciple. If I think of Virgo, I actually do think that part of the Virgo archetype is about being the disciple, how to serve your community or your God in the best way. Because remember, Virgos, they're not necessarily, the evolved Virgo isn't power hungry. The evolved Virgo is looking to be of service to their community. And that really is what Vesta is talking about. Now, your Vesta placement may be saying something about how your relationship with God and also your relationship with religion. Now, this could be in a very traditional or non-traditional way. It is said that monks and nuns may have like a really strong Vesta, because again, they're sort of they're playing into that archetype of being of service to God. And also remember that Vesta does represent like purity and chastity. Now, priesthood is ruled by Jupiter and the ninth house in Sagittarius, whereas Vesta is the ruler of like nuns, monks, bodhisattvas, that kind of thing, just to make the separation. So I want you to think too, when you look at your Vesta placement, you know, what is your relationship with God? What is your relationship with religion? Did you break away from the religion that you were raised in? Did you have to find your own religion? Are you a dogmatic person? Are you, even if you don't subscribe to one of the major religions like Christianity or Buddhism, you could still be a very religious person in nature. I would say even an atheist could have a strong Vesta if they were very committed to their identity of atheism. And it's almost like atheism becomes that their morality. Again, Vesta has so much to do with morality and our effort to uphold morality, which, going back to Virgo, the whole Virgo archetype is about the morality of society. Now, we can't forget that Vesta, represents going back to the Vestal Virgins. Okay, obviously they had to remain chaste in order to do their job, which was tending to the eternal flame of Rome. Don't ask me why, I guess that was just part of the job. So in Vesta representing purity and chastity, I think like just by association, Vesta would be talking about something about our sexuality, right? So this could be something about, shame or guilt when it comes to sex or sexual pleasure. Depending on your Vesta placement, you could have, I'm sure if you in a past life signed some sort of or made a, what is it called? a vow of chastity, maybe in a past life you were a nun or a monk or something and you had to remain chaste your whole life, I'm sure that would come up in your chart somehow and it would have something to do with Vesta. If you were raised in a very like strict household that shamed sexuality and the whole idea that sexuality and sex is a sin, if you felt that very strongly in your lifetime, I bet you have a strongly aspected Vesta. So I don't know. I just think it's really interesting. I really feel very connected to Vesta in some way. My Vesta is in the 12th house. So it seems to be like a very mysterious placement for me. Now, let's say if you have, let's just give an example. If you had Vesta in your 6th house, I wouldn't be surprised if you were very, very committed to serving your community somehow. No matter what you do, I'm thinking that you are like the best team member you could be, even if it's just like designing a poster for a community fundraiser. You're going to really design that poster like amazingly. You're going to always like take the role of service and being of service to a greater purpose very, very seriously. So again, my key word for Vesta is disciple. So where are you a disciple of? Okay, let's move into Juno. So Juno is the wife of Zeus. And our Juno placement has something to do with our relationship to marriage. Now, if you think of Juno and Juno is also named Hera. So if you think of Hera and Zeus's relationship, it definitely wasn't monogamous, right? I mean, both Hera and Zeus probably cheated on each other a ton of times, and Zeus definitely had a lot of illegitimate children outside of his marriage with Juno. So there was a lot of infidelity. Yet the point of Juno is Juno remains faithful, or at least she remained in the marriage to Zeus regardless of his infidelity or regardless of his poor behavior. So the main key word for Juno for me is commitment. So I think that our Juno placement can indicate something about our relationship to marriage. Maybe if you have a very visceral reaction to the idea of getting married and you just find it to be like horrifying and you're like, oh, I would never get married or whatever, you may have an interestingly aspected or placed Juno. But I think going deeper than just the theme of marriage, because I think that's typically what astrologers will touch on with this asteroid Juno, for me, yeah, going back to my keyword, commitment, I think it's about our ability to commit, not only to people and the people we want to be partnered with, but I think it's like just commitment in general. Can we commit to doing a task and finishing it? Can we commit to ourselves and our goals? Are we taking our dreams seriously enough to just commit and say, like, I'm doing this, I'm going to do this? So if you have trouble with disciplining yourself, I wouldn't be surprised if you had some, you know, maybe squares to Juno, or maybe Juno for you would be in the fifth house. So let's say you have Juno in the fifth house. Fifth house is fun, pleasure, excitement, expansion, children. Maybe you find it easy to be committed to your children's well-being, but you don't find it easy to be committed to one partner for the rest of your life. But again, that's just a general statement. It could totally be different depending on your chart. It also could speak to whether you feel drawn to monogamy or polyamory, and it could just speak to the nature of your romantic relationships in general. I would bet if like someone who is like a serial cheater and had a lot of like infidelity in their you know, in their dating records, I would bet that there's something about their Juno placement that like doesn't want to be, you know, held back. So that's Juno. And what is Juno's relation to Virgo? Well, as we can see here, guys, so Virgo is the virgin, right? So the Vesta, you know, going back to Vesta, Vesta is, you know, representing that virginic woman that we see in the archetype of Virgo, whereas Juno is representing sort of the woman who is married, but also of service to her partner. And again, Virgo always wants to be of service, always wants to fulfill their role in the quote-unquote right way. You know, they have, you know, the plan. I was just talking about this with a client. I was reading her birth chart, and she had her north node in Virgo, and she was talking about how that in her relationships, you know, she's quick to move on in relationships because if they're not subscribing to like the plan, then they're out. You know, it's all about her plan. And, you know, you either fit into the plan or you don't. That's sort of a very Virgo quality. And I think that Juno kind of relates back to that. Juno's about our commitments to both ourselves and other people. And lastly, we reach Pallas Athena. So, oh my gosh, I think she's so cool. So Pallas Athena, she is sort of the guardian of the city. She represents the archetype of like men going away to war and women staying behind to sort of guard the city. So that like, you know, that famous like poster, I forget what it is. God, kill me. I'm like, obviously I'm struggling with my words in Virgo season. Remember that poster? There's a poster, a really famous poster from like World War II. I forget her name, but she's like this woman. She has like the bandana and she's kind of like flexing her bicep. And it's like, there's usually like women can do it. Or it was just like this, the propaganda behind women kind of staying behind, but still supporting the men who were out fighting in war, but the women were staying behind and making the weapons. You guys get me? That's like very much Pallas Athena archetype. Now, in mythology, in the mythology of Pallas Athena, I think it's fascinating because Zeus kind of woke up one day with a raging headache and Pallas Athena just kind of burst out of his head. So we sort of see, you know, this relates to Virgo because, you know, who else is, you know, the goddess that relates to Virgo? I already mentioned her in this episode is the Virgin Mary. And the Virgin Mary, of course, is famous for the Immaculate Conception of Jesus Christ. So nobody was involved in the conception of Jesus Christ except her and God, right? And that's why they call it the Immaculate Conception. Now, Zeus and the story of Pallas Athena, we have a really interesting take on an immaculate conception, quote unquote, from a man. So it's all kind of relating back to this Virgo archetype. So Zeus gives birth to Pallas Athena, and she only has him as her dad. There's no mother in this story. And Pallas Athena, she can represent themes like intelligence, self-defense, some other things I was reading. She represents musical instruments, the potter's wheel, arts and crafts, weaving, metalsmithing, herbology. So things of that nature. My main word for Pallas Athena was craftsmanship, actually. So I think the main theme for me, if I'm looking at someone's chart and I'm looking at their Pallas Athena placement, I'm thinking this is where they're the most crafty. This is where they're the most dedicated to some kind of project they may be making. So if you quite literally are a musician or are an artist, or you're into weaving, or you're a really crafty person, you love arts and crafts, you could have a very strong Pallas Athena. But in general, it's sort of the dedication to our craftsmanship. The energy of Pallas Athena actually reminds me of a Virgo tarot card, which is the Eight of Pentacles. And the Eight of Pentacles discusses our divine work on this planet. And it's sort of like Pallas Athena is sort of like, if you're going to do a half-assed job, don't do it at all, right? Don't do it at all. If you're going to do something, you better do it 100%. And you're gonna want to do it with just the utmost, you know, perfection. And it's where you are the most dedicated to producing what you want to produce. So think of like a really important project in your life, or where you yourself are artistic, or where your intelligence or your intellectual gifts lie. And think about that when you're looking at your Pallas Athena placement, because Pallas Athena is really going to tell you like where you are the most dedicated to your what you are producing and what you're bringing into the world. Now, going back to that whole guardian of the city, woman warrior, it said that like if you're a woman, and let's say you're a woman in the military, or you are a female officer of some sort, you may have a very strong Pallas Athena. If your Pallas Athena is making aspects, strong aspects like trines or squares to Mars, this could definitely, you know, bring about some kind of aggression or intensity to your personality. So everybody's different, but that's kind of all I have for you today. That's just the general overview of those asteroids. And I really do relate all of them to Virgo in some way. And I think a mixture, all five of them sort of mixed together, makes the perfect Virgo soup for me. And they fit, you know, a lot better for, in my perspective, to Virgo versus Mercury, although Mercury is undeniably related to the Virgo archetype in some way too. But let me know what you guys think after you're listening to this. Do you think that the asteroids are the true ruler of Virgo? Do you think just one of the asteroids that I mentioned is the true ruler of Virgo? Or are you just sticking to Mercury? Let me know. And thanks so much for listening. And also let me know what you're finding with your asteroids. I'd be really interested in seeing like how you guys are learning about your asteroids. I'm still learning about mine. So, all right. So let's wrap this up. September for me, I'm going to take a much needed break. I probably mentioned this in the beginning, I don't remember, but I'm definitely having a little bit of burnout energy going on, brewing. So I'm kind of taking a little bit of a step back in September. And honestly, I'm not sure what this step back is going to look like. It could be that this is the only podcast that I'm releasing in September, or it could look like I'm going to release more content in September. I'm not sure. It's sort of like I'm trying to make some more time for the things that I really enjoy, and trying to sort of mend my psychic burnout that I'm feeling right now. So we'll see what happens. Regardless, October, I'm feeling it's definitely going to be a sort of rebirth for me, and I'm so excited for where this podcast is heading, and I have so many new ideas, and I'm just kind of waiting to launch them for the right time, and when once my mind, body, and spirit is aligned, then we can kind of jump off, right? Because there's no use in plowing through when you're burnt out. So that's where I'm at right now, guys. Thanks so much for listening. Everything that you need to know about me is in the show notes, and I'll talk to you guys next time.